Praise his name. Let's stand together if you'd like. We'll just bow our heads to open the service. Lord Jesus, we truly are appreciative of all that you've done for us, the opportunities you've granted us, Lord, and allowed us with health and strength to come again to the precious little building you've provided for us, and Lord, to fellowship with saints that like precious faith, to have a desire to give our whole lives to you. And we can draw strength from one another, Lord. Virtue flowing from breast to breast. We thank you, Father. Many blessings that you grant us, Lord. And Lord, I know I'm not deserving of it, but your grace and mercy in my life. And pray, Lord, that you would just bless us with thy word as it comes forth today. Lord, open our hearts, our minds. Lord, may we receive of what you have for us. Oh, God. Lord, this late hour that we're living in, Father, and time is running out. Are we ready, Lord? May we check with every moment we have available. Lord, help us, I pray. Draw us ever closer to thee. May thy perfect will be done in everything, every phase of the service. We ask this in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Do you love him this morning? Amen. Praise his name. Let's sing. Amen. Page 100 in our big books. I mean, our little ones, our capstone books. Amen. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Are you happy this morning? Amen. Happy I woke up with a desire in my heart to please him. I have found his grace is all complete. He supplieth every need. While I sit and learn at Jesus' feet, I am free as free indeed. Oh, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. It is joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the half has never yet been told. I have found the pleasure I once craved. It is joy and peace within. What a wondrous blessing I am saved from that awful gulf of sin. Oh, it is joy unspeakable and full of, amen, hallelujah, glory. I have found a hope so bright and clear, living in the realms of grace. Oh, the Savior's presence is so near, I can see his smiling face. Oh, it is joy unspeakable and full of glory. I have found the joy no tongue can tell, how its wave of glory rolls. Oh, it is like a great overflowing well, bringing up within my soul. Amen. Oh, it is joy unthinkable and experience that joy. No way to describe it. No way to explain it to someone unless they try it themselves. Amen. Our big books, if you turn with me. Page 7. Amen. When the redeemed are gathered. gathering in. Oh, what a day that's going to be. Hallelujah. I am thinking of the rapture in our blessed home on high, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, how we'll raise that heavenly anthem in that city in the sky, when the redeemed, amen. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, horse like snow and fruit moss in. Oh, how we'll shout and how we'll sing when redeemed are gathering in. There will be a great procession over on the streets of gold when redeemed are gathering in. Oh, what music, oh, what singing o'er that city will be rolled when the redeemed, oh, what a day, amen. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, horse like snow and wheat moss in. Oh, how we'll shout and how we'll sing. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, saints will sing redemption story with their voices clear and strong when redeemed are gathering in. Then the angels all will listen, for they cannot join that song when the redeemed are gathering in. Amen. Oh, when redeemed are gathering in. Oh, horse like snow and freak moss in. Oh, how we'll shout and how we'll sing. Oh, when redeemed are gathering in. Oh, then the Savior will give orders to prepare the banquet board when redeemed are gathering in. And we'll hear his invitation, come ye blessed of the Lord, when the redeemed are gathering in. Amen. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. And freak moss in. Oh, how we'll shout and how we'll sing. Oh, when the redeemed, amen, are gathering in. Sing it. Oh, when the redeemed are gathering in. Oh, horse like snow and freak moss in. Oh, how we'll shout and how we'll sing. Oh, when redeemed are gathering in. Amen. Are you looking forward to that? Are you one of the redeemed? Amen. Hallelujah. Page 96 in our capstone books there. Back to the little ones. Oh, what a happy day that's going to be. Sing it from your heart, saints. Know you're going to be there. All to be happy. Amen. Oh, what a happy time that's sure to be. Jesus coming after me. I hear him calling me away from this old world forever to stay. And when he takes me by the hand in that blessed promised land, what a happy time that's sure to be. Oh, what a happy day. Oh, what a happy day. Oh, that will be when we gather there. What a happy day. Oh, when we climb those golden stairs. We'll be with those who've gone before. James and John, Brother Branham and more. What a happy time that's sure to be. What a happy day. And when I walk in heaven fair, see my blessed Savior there. He'll place a crown upon my head, give me a robe of white to wear. I'll walk on streets of purest gold, live forever and not grow old. Shout and sing through the endless ages, amen. Oh, what a happy day that will be when we gather there. What a happy day. Oh, Well, me with those, call me four. James and John, brother Ben and Bimble. What a happy time, that's sure to be. Oh, what a happy day. Amen, what a happy day.
Hallelujah.
Looking forward to that day, saints. Hey, my brother Luke, would you like to come up for the offering? That's the blessing, if you will. Yes. Amen. Feeling so much better. Talking about the good old way. Amen. Feeling so much better. Talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better. Talking about the Lord, so let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord. Oh, feeling so much better, talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better, talking about the Lord, so let's go on. Let's go on, amen, hallelujah, good old way. Let's go on, oh, let's go on, talking about the Lord. The devil, he don't like it, talking about this good old way. The devil, he don't like it, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord. Oh, feeling so much better, talking about this good old way. Feeling so much better, talking about the Lord. So let's go on, talking about this good old way. Let's go on, talking about the Lord.
Amen. Never can talk about him enough, can we? Amen. How many have a request for him? Something on your heart? Amen. Just hold it on your heart as we bow our heads. Brother Amos, would you like to take the request? Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. Amen. Would there be a special song? Amen. Amen. Do you have one, Karen? All righty. Well, let's all stand, if you will. Sing low chorus, only believe. Amen. As we ask our brother to come. Only believe. Only believe.
Precious Lord, we are truly thankful for one more opportunity to come and to gather in around your precious word. And Lord, how our hearts rejoice to know that you're alive this morning. And Lord, we can feel your presence in this building with us, Lord, and each one of us realizing as we've come, we've brought a portion of you with us. And Lord, we've just come today to let you have your way. We've come hungry, asking you to speak to us, Lord, through the way of your precious word. And Lord, we just pray that you'll take these precious words you've laid upon my heart. In some way, Lord, let it help someone, encourage someone. Lord, do the work that would be needed somewhere along the way, whether it be here or someone that might listen to the recording that we would make today. But Lord, we ask all things to your glory and to your honor, and that through it all, Lord, you would receive the praise from it. And Lord, we just ask your blessings upon your word now, Lord, and we ask it all in the lovely, precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Do you love him?
Amen.
Amen. Happy to be here. Yes. Amen. You know, I apologize. Our pastor couldn't be here this morning, but we all, every now and then, have to take a break. And sometimes our bodies get a little weak, and, you know, we just... But God has a purpose and a place for everything. And, you know, it kind of funny how things worked out. I wasn't planning on ministering today. Didn't have no idea that I was going to minister today. And last night, a little something come to me, and just a thought. And I went to bed, and it just kind of was on my mind, and kind of thought about it all night, and then I get the call this morning that I was going to minister. So with that thought on my heart, I began to look at these things and think about it, and it's just, maybe I believe this is what the Lord wanted this morning. And God works all things for a purpose and for a reason. But while you're standing, if you would, let's just turn our Bible to Ephesians, the first chapter. Amen. May seem really simple this morning, may just seem like a small Bible study, so to speak, but... if you'll let God open your heart, I believe each one of us can take something from it today. But Ephesians, the first chapter, I'm just going to read that 11th verse. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. May the Lord add the blessings of his word, and you may be seated. The counsel of his own will. And you know, he sent us here for a purpose. And our precious pastor's been speaking on that. And getting to finish the work that we've been sent for. But I want us to stop and think. We're going to go back into the Old Testament and bring it up through the New and look at some circumstances that happened in life. Human beings were always in a hurry. And we want things to happen right now. And we often look at things and we think of it in a way of a human being and how we perceive it and how we feel it should take place. But God set this great plan in order. From the beginning to the end, he knew it all. And I want you to look at these circumstances as we go, what God has done. In the past, we're going to read about some of these old warriors of the faith, starting in the Old Testament, and we're going to bring it right up to us today. But let's turn, if you would, to Exodus. Read very familiar passages of Scripture, but we'll just go to Exodus here. Amen. And we're going to go to Exodus 14th chapter. And just look at how God told Moses to go down there and take those children of Israel out of Egypt. But I just want you to catch this, and I know we've heard it many times, but I believe by reading it, it'll put it fresh back into your heart. Some of the way it was written for a reason, just the way it was placed in the Scriptures. But the 14th chapter and the first verse, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before, I can't pronounce the word, but Migdol and the sea over against, and before it ye shall encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land and the wilderness had shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his host that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. I want you to notice the purpose he done it. I want them to know that I am the Lord. Amen. We're living in an age, saints, where people don't know that he is the Lord. But he's here to prove that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And all he's got is you and I and any of the other little elect all throughout the land that he saw before the world was ever formed in his mind. He had to have a people on this earth at this time to express himself again that they would know that he was the Lord. Amen. A life that you can't live yourself is what his goal was to do through you. A vessel is all he asked for. Give me your body as a living sacrifice. That's all he wanted. And he says, and he told the king of Egypt, and the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot, and he took his people with him. And we're going to drop on down to the 10th verse. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Now that's how people perceived it. They were looking at it through human eyes. But they were failed to look at what God had promised them. He said he would take them out with a mighty hand. He told him he would deliver them and he would give them that land. But they left their vision of what they'd been sent for. They were all ready to go. Oh, God was moving mightily. The plagues come into Egypt and they saw God move and they saw all God done. But they were still thinking like human beings when they got out into the desert. And here come that mighty army with swords and spears. Just think of them now. And he says, this is the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone that we may serve Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, the Spirit of the Lord in Moses, fear not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show unto you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his host and upon his chariot and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and a darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. God told him to stretch forth thy rod. Now Moses followed what God said to do. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back. Who caused this? Did Moses? No, God said he rolled the sea back. He said, Moses, you stretch out thy rod. But God moved upon the face of those waters and rolled them back, that the children of Israel went through on dry ground. And he says, And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right and to their left. And we know that the Egyptians failed to do so when they entered in there. God got his glory and honor upon them. But as a people, I want you to notice how feeble they, after they had seen all that God had done, they still fumbled and failed to have faith in what he was going to do for them. And circumstances of life come around us all the time. There's always something rising up in our midst. Along life's path, there's always troubles. But God called you to a purpose, and he brought you through all kinds of manner of things. He led the children of Israel through this desert, right up against the sea on purpose, that he could prove that he was the Lord to the Egyptians. And as we go through life, there's going to be circumstances arise. And as a human being, if we just look at that circumstance, we can get despondent. We can get discouraged. We can get all down and saying, oh, why am I here? Why did this have to happen to me? Why did I come this way? But God's got a plan, and he works all things after the counsel of his own will. And that's why we are here, for the counsel of his own will to his good pleasure was we placed here. But if you can get up, caught up in eyes of faith, you can see. We don't have to be like the children of Israel. Look at the understanding that God has given us today. How bold of warrior we ought to be in this day, and what a stand we ought to be able to take for the word. It's the age of full faith, of a perfect faith, a rapturing faith that we're at in this day. But let's go ahead and turn over here to the book of Judges. Catch another one here. Just a small example. But I want you to notice each one of these. And saints, as we travel this road, many things are going to happen. Many things go around us. Many of us have loved ones that we see and circumstances we don't understand. Maybe we're praying for them. But keep your faith in God, who works all things after the counsel of his own will. Don't look at it as a human being, but when you go to God in prayer, you're not take it to God with faith, believing that he is a rewarder and he'll answer every prayer for whatever circumstances in your life. 14th chapter of the book of Judges. We'll just catch that. We'll start at the 24th verse, the 13th chapter. And the woman bare a son and called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Estel. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up, and he told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now therefore get her for me a wife. And then his father and his mother said unto him, Is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Now, mom and dad's looking at this situation, and they're saying, Oh, no, this can't be. No, don't go that way. And as parents, a lot of times we see our children begin to make decisions that we don't like. We see things happen in life, and we do all we can to guide their footsteps. And then as we get on life, maybe we see a brother turn and fall aside. This happens, that happens. We see circumstances arise. But God's got all things in his control. And we must put all of our faith in Jesus Christ and learn to trust him and to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. But I want you to notice here, he says, Then his father and mother said, let's drop on down, but his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines, for the time when the Philistines had dominion over Israel. So here God took a situation that looked totally wrong, and it was wrong. He should have never been down there in that Philistine camp. But God had a purpose for it to happen just that way. Maybe we started out raised in church, some of us. Maybe some of us went a long time being a church-going person. And then all of a sudden we decided we didn't want nothing to do with church and we went our own way. We got away from it. We separated. We went here. We went there. Maybe I sat in church, but my heart was far from God and I was doing what I wanted to do, calling myself a believer. And maybe a true spiritual person could sit in the same congregation and was looking out, seeing me take my path and saying, Lord, help that brother. He's wrong. He's gone. And maybe this one over here is being critical and just really judging hard against that person coming down. This situation has taken place. But yet God might have a purpose for it. Look at many of us sitting here. We've been told we were wrong for the choices we've made. When we left one church to start another, they thought we were wrong. But God was leading a special people, certain people, to go this way, to go that way. Maybe he took you out into the world and let it happen for that reason, that maybe you would see grace that much more abundant. Maybe he had to let this situation happen, that when you get to this situation, it's going to take place and work out after the counsel of his own will to his glory. For he's working all things to his glory, not what we see, how we see it. But we must learn to have faith and trust God in what he's doing. And maybe sometimes we see something happen and we don't understand it. We have our idea about it, but learn to be quiet till the Lord or the Holy Spirit speaks to our heart and says, this is why this is happening. Many of us, now we can look back and see how God has moved in our own lives. We can see situations and things that has happened that we thought, oh my, why this, why that? But now we can look back and see that through it all, it's still been working to the glory of the Lord. Amen. And that's what these people couldn't see at this time. They didn't have had an opportunity to be able to look back and see these examples that was set. But I wanted, let's go on over here to the 16th chapter of the book of Judges. And down about the 20th verse of the 16th chapter, and she said, and he's talking about now he's met Delilah. And he said, and she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out to the other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. Here was a man that God had used mightily, killed thousands of Philistines. But God had told him never to cut his hair. A promise that God told him, as long as you don't cut your hair, I'll be right there with you 100%. But here they took him down there, put him in there, made fun of him, he ground in that old thing. But it says, but how be it, the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. And old Maya's eyes put out down there chained to that old grist mill. And as he's working, but oh, he began to feel that on his neck, and he knew. Oh, a razor hadn't touched his head, and his hair was coming back. And he says, and then the Lord, we'll drop down about the 27th verse, and he says, now the house was full of men and women, and the lords of the Philistines were there, and they were upon the roof, about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport. And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took a hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and which was borne up. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all of his might. And all of the people that was therein, so dead which he slew his death, were more than they which he slew in all of his life. And God was proved to be God. No human man could push those pillars over. But the Spirit of the Lord upon him did the mighty work and brought to pass God's word and brought it to fulfillment. And let's turn over here now to the book of Daniel. I want you to notice each one of these, the situations that God used, placed people in. Oftentimes you might wonder, why am I in this? Why am I going through this? Why does it have to be this way? But trust God that he knows what's best for you. If he brought you this far, he will take you the rest of the way. Amen. And he's got a purpose in everything that's happening around us. But oh my, God is going to get his glory. Amen. Here in the book of Daniel, just start there about the third chapter. And we'll start at the 14th verse. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? And now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet and the flute and the harp and the dulcimer and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning of the fiery furnace. And who is it that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. He will deliver us out of that of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Look at the holding to the word that they had. Standing fast, holding a standard, standing strong. And then Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against them, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace one seven times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. And then these men were bound in their coats, and their hosen, and their hats, and their garments, were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace, and there, because the king's command was urgent. And the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego up. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and he rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said, O king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose and walking in that midst of that fire, and they have no hurt, and the form is like the Son of God. And I want you to notice there was three men holding to what God told them. They didn't know where the end was going to be, but when they landed in that furnace, God was right among them walking with them. And the heat was gone out of that fire. And I want you to understand that if you'll take God at his word and you'll walk, he'll be right there to meet you when you get there. If you want the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you begin to walk towards him. Repent. Go get baptized, but keep walking towards him and he will meet you right where you want to meet him. And he'll make it right there. And then he'll take a hold of your hand in every circumstance in life that you face. You take him at his word. The hour may be dark and things look black around you and you can't see where you're going. But he'll be right there leading and guiding the whole time if you'll take him at his word. And he will move on the scene and take it in his control. Saints, we've lived in a time to where people have forgot what God can do. They've lost their trust in what God could do. Many times we can look back in the past and hear stories of what God provided for this one and God provided for that one. But do you hear those true testimonies anymore that can truly be said it was a God moved on the scene? God vindicated and God got the glory, not, well, brother so-and-so prayed for me and I got healed. Brother so-and-so got the glory, but where's God's glory? He wants his glory, not some man recognized, but he's looking for to be able to move in your life on a personal basis and you be able to raise up and say, God healed me. God revealed to me this, and it came to pass exactly the way he said it. A people led and moved by the Holy Ghost, not a people moved and led by a man on a platform. But the Holy Spirit leading his church, guiding his ministry to bring the word, the Holy Spirit being there to reveal the word to a people, and in turn that people then have a life and a manifestation come back forth of the precious holy word being lived out through them, 100% in tune with God's word. But oh my, saints, we're living in a blessed time. We're living in a time when God is going to see all things are wrapping up. And just as he had a people for in Moses' time, Moses was there, the children of Israel was there, God worked and dealt through each one of their lives. Samson, I want you to think about him. But God moved and made a way for all of those situations. And through that, those people were the people that he used to express and get his glory. Now, we are people here today. We can live our lives as human beings, buying and getting what we want and doing our own will. Living the way I want to, feel the way I want to feel about things, get mad when I want to get mad. But God said he would have a people that would be Christ-like. And this word would be a vindication through their life. And is that where I see I've been sent for? Or was I just sent to follow William Branham as a prophet of the age? And he brought a message and that's what I believe and that's what I'm following. But is there a life to back up that the very Jesus Christ, he said, a little while the world will see me no more, but ye shall see me because I'll be with you, even in you, till the end of the world. And as we read the scripture Thursday night, if I told you I was a gangster, as Brother Branham said, you would think me as carrying guns and wearing a hat and a suit and looking like an old gangster would have. And if Jesus Christ is in us, the works and the life of Jesus Christ will be expressed back through us. And it should be seen. It's a visual. It's not something we just talk about. But it's got to become a reality. A dog acts like a dog. And a cow acts like a cow. And a Christian that's truly Christ-like will act like Christ act. Compassion, love, peace, joy, long-suffering. All of those things will truly be expressed back through their life. And it must be, or we're not. We're missing the mark of where we're headed with life. And why we were sent here. Amen. Let me see. Glory. Amen. Hallelujah. If my watch must be wrong. Amen. Let's see here. Here, just watch this. Here, let's go to Jonah, the first chapter. Very familiar again, but just look at how God worked things through these men's lives. As he says here, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish, and the presence of the Lord went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. And he paid his fare thereof, and he went down to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent a great wind into the sea. God troubled the waters. He started right off. God had a purpose for it. He let Jonah go that direction. But the Lord sent a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea that the ship was like to be broken. And the mariners were afraid and cried every man and cast forth the wares that they were in the ship into the sea to lighten it. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. We'll drop down to about the 8th verse. And then they said unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. And what is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? And what is thy country, and what of the people? And he said unto them, I am Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, and the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and dry land. And they were men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. And then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may calm unto us? And the sea wrought was tempestuous. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know for my sake that this great tempest is upon you. Just think of this. Throw me into the sea. Just throw me into the sea. But he knew he was told to go down there, and he knew he was going to go. God, he knew, God, throw me into the sea, and the waves will cease. Oh, my, and he says, but now the Lord, 17th verse, but the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of that fish 3 days and three nights. Oh, why, a type of Jesus Christ in the earth, belly of the earth, 3 days and three nights. All things working after the counsel of his own will. Every situation, at the time that it was taking place, oh my, why did this happen? But God knew exactly how he had to do it, that his scriptures would proclaim who he was and what was going to take place. Oh my, and he's down about the 10th verse of the second chapter, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited Jonah upon the dry land. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto the preaching I bid thee. And Jonah arose, and he went unto Nineveh. Amen. And as he walked up, the fish got as the story, as Brother Branham explained it. We see that took place. But I want you to look. God working on every angle. There wasn't one portion of that that just happened by chance. God knew exactly those footsteps of the righteous ordained of God, and he knew exactly where it was going to land and how it was going to take place. And every one of those keep continuing up through to make it come out to God's glory. And you know, I want you to think about that. When you look back now, and you may look at situations, well, I started here, and then I went there, and then I done this, and oh boy, I really got it mixed up over here and got into that. But then look where God's brought me to today. And God knew every step. He knew exactly what it would take for each one of us to get where he could use us. And maybe some of us, he still ain't done with. Maybe some of us are still going to see some rough times before he gets us molded and broke to a temple that he can use for his glory. You know, I've told you many times, God brought me through a rough road. But he had to break me. He had to break my pride and my stubbornness, whatever you call it, to get me where he could use me for his glory. And each one of us can probably look back and see that in our lives. But if we would just yield to the Holy Spirit and let him have his way, how much easier our road would be sometimes. But God has a purpose in bringing us the way that we come. He knew all about it. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's turn over here to, let's go to Luke now into the New Testament. Let's go to Luke, the second chapter. Amen. And Luke, the second chapter. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that the world should be taxed. And that taxing was first when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one, into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary his wife, espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now I want to turn here. I want you to think about that now. Here they were living someplace else, but that decree went forth to make them travel back to Bethlehem, that Jesus Christ could be born there. And I want you to listen here. In December 16th, 1963, we've seen his star and come to worship him. Hey, man, let me sit and write down the paragraph, but I got it marked. Amen. Yeah, let's start here about the 33rd verse. This is what I'm speaking of tonight. This is page 7. This is what I'm speaking of. It might seem just a little bit unusual, especially if these notes and scriptures I have written here, which I will refer to as many of them take down the scriptures and so forth, drop on down to the 34th. And he says, remember, this was all prearranged by God himself, this birth of his son, and when it was to take place, and how it was, and when it was all prearranged by God himself. Did you notice it had to be just at this time with this murderous King Herod? Nothing but a murderer killed all those little children, that it might be fulfilled, which was spake by the Lord the prophet, saying, in Ramah, Rachel reaping and weeping for her children, and they were not. See, there had to be a murderous king to fulfill that prophecy that was spoke many hundred years beforehand. But when God speaks a word by his prophet, it has to come to pass. And if it's God's word, no matter how long it lingers, it'll still come to pass because it's a seed. And Jesus said the word of God is a seed that a sower sowed, and it must bear its fruit in its seasons. And now this murderous king had to be at this time to kill those children. And another thing we notice is that just at that very time, he had to raise taxes on the people. And in doing that, forced Joseph and his espoused wife Mary to be forced back into Bethlehem. God knows how to do things, and he'll even make the works of the enemy praise him. When we think sometimes it's we got to do it this and we got to do it that to make the clock tick just right, God's timepiece is ticking perfectly. And Jesus will be here right on time. He won't be 1 second behind. Everything will happen just exactly the way God said it would. So whether we do it or whether we don't do it, it will be there just the same because God spoke it and it will be so. Now I want you to notice we read all those circumstances God predestinated back through the scriptures, and we saw those people fulfill their time and their season. And now it's been written that it was all done and backed up 100%. And we stand here tonight claiming we've been sent for a purpose. We're part of an elect that's been sent to be this bride. But by God's grace, God works everything right on time. We see the world closing in and the chaos that's going on. There's going to be a bride leave this earth. Now, whether you're in it, whether I'm in it, that's between us and God. We've been given an opportunity to be part of that. The word lays here and has come. But are we going to be that people? Or if time would go on and those scriptures would be wrote, we were the people that didn't follow through. But if the scriptures would go on and they would write another book of Acts, would our name be there that I was placed here? And God brought me here and I went through this and I went through that. But through it all came right back and God got his glory. Because God's going to do it through a people. But are we going to be part of that people? That's where we stand tonight. It's going to happen, saints. There's going to be somebody that's going to have that life of Jesus Christ 100%. There's going to be somebody so in tune with God's word that the Holy Spirit can move them just like it moved Apostle Paul and Philip and Stephen, Peter, those ones of old. It's going to be that real. But am I going to be part of that? Or am I just going to float along and not let my life be lived out? God didn't take a chance on any of this. And I just want you to catch this real quick as I was thinking about it here. Here God made a way to come in this birth of Christ as we begin to read that little portion. He made a way that he had to come. He couldn't take a chance. In the same way with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God could have sent an angel down there to take care of them. But he come himself and was in the fire with them. And he was there himself walking and talking with them. The same way he could have come up with any other way, but God saw fit to him. He was going to come and pay the price for you and I. He saw fit that he would be the one that would come and start this work. And he began this work in his mind before there was ever a moon or star. Now we're just acting out our part. But let's turn back to Matthew, the 27th chapter, and read what he went through as to be and pay a price for us that we could be here today. And as the people stood around and watched this all happen, with humans' thoughts in mind, they're standing there and they look at the situations going on. And they thought, oh my, there goes Jesus. That was the one we thought was the Messiah. They all thought that as they were standing around without a true revelation and an understanding of what was taking place. But here in the 27th chapter, amen, of Matthew, and about the 23rd verse, looks like I wrote down. And the governor said, why, what evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. And when Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather the tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See you to it. And they answered the people, let me drop down to about the 29th. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it up on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him. And they mocked him, saying, hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed, and they smote him on the head. And after all they had mocked him, they took the robe from him, off of him, and put his own raiment on him, and led him away to crucify him. And as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name, and him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they were coming to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, a place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. And when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. And they crucified him and parted his garments and cast lots that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet. And they parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there. And they set up over his head this accusation written, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews." And then were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their head, saying, "Thou that destroyest the temple and build it again in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." And likewise the chief priests, mocking him with scribes and elders, said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, and it will be him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And I want you to look as Jesus himself. He took it upon himself. He knew he had to do this. But the very God that created the heavens and the earth housed himself in a flesh body and went through all this, suffered and bled and died, and let that body be broken for us. But by God's grace, he was not kept in that grave. And today we have this assurance because he arose. I know that the same life that was in him, if I go not away, I cannot come again to you. But oh, he sent back the Holy Ghost in himself in the form of the Holy Spirit and brought and separated himself to each one of us that we would be here in this time. He didn't just leave us here to do this on our own, but he said, "I'm going to do it." He set out to finish this and to do this work and to have this plan. And all he needed was vessels, but he's doing the work through those vessels. He's going to complete the work. It was Jonah, it was Moses, they were the men that he was using, but it was God that done everything through them 100% all the way down the line. And so it is today. If there be any good in me, if there be any good in you, it is God himself in me that is doing the works out through us. And how we ought to give God that much more praise and credit. But if the works coming from me are good, then I know God is in there, and if I see it manifesting and vindicating the word. But if I see my life not turning to this word, I still my own self, stubborn self, I still live for myself, my worldly cares still all wrapped up in them, I'm still doing what I want to do and God's really second in my life, then I can be assured that he's not in me yet living his life out through me. And I have no assurance that I'm going to be in a rapture. I have no assurance that I'm going to be one of them, that God has received glory and honor and praise out through my life. And how we should be concerned, because that's why we were sent here. For his glory, for his honor, that through it all he would receive the praise for it. And that's why we come. As I said, God is working all things. God gives us a pastor. God gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us a building together in. God made the way for all of these things. He makes the way for us together here. And then God takes it and lays upon the pastor's heart the messages that we have need of that will bring us to the maturity in Jesus Christ. That was God's way. He gave gifts to the church. And then we're set here, and do we truly see it that it's God working for me as an individual? Each time I come in here, do I truly catch the revelation that God is dealing with me? I'm not worried about my brother, I'm not worried about my sister, but God saw fit to give me a pastor, and we must have, he set those gifts up, but then God saw fit to give him the words to bring. The very words that come, that maybe cuts me, that pinches me, that makes me think, why do I have to hear this? Why do I have to feel this way? Why? But God knows what we have need of. And he brings it, and he brings it back time and time again. Because why? Maybe the first time we wasn't paying attention. Maybe the second time I decided I had something else to do in life, and I just missed service that night. But God knows. And if you're God's elect, he's going to do whatever it takes to make sure that his word is fulfilled. If it means throwing you into the sea and having a fish swallow you to make his word come out exactly the way he said it would, it'll happen to you. And when it's done, you'll be able to look back in your life and say, "Praise God, I see what you've done for me." Maybe you didn't understand why it was happening, but God has a purpose for every walk and everything we're doing in life. Hey, amen. You know, sometimes we've got loved ones in situations and maybe they're there for a purpose. Maybe God wants to use us to maybe help this one, to help that one. But are we in the condition to do so? Am I in the condition that I could be like Philip and be caught away in the Spirit to expound on the word to someone over here? Or when my chance come, my mind was so caught up in the cares of the world, I missed my opportunity to help someone. All I could feel about was my flesh, of how I felt about the situation, what I think about the situation. And maybe that's all I could tell them. But what if God wanted you to speak something from his word to him in a courageous way, but because of human beings, we let that cloud the what the Spirit wanted to do through us. We might only be given one opportunity, saints, and that's why it's so important that we be in the leading of the Holy Spirit and make sure it's not just a phrase, just not something we're going to talk about, but we must listen for that still small voice. He's not going to speak to you with an audible voice, but he will speak to you through your His word, through his heart, through a dream, something, and lead you in the way that you should go. But are we willing to be that vessel that's that surrendered and that open? Jesus knew the price he was going to have to pay when he come on this earth. He knew every stripe. He knew the pain of those thorns. He knew what he was going to have to suffer. But he humbled himself and did it willingly for you and I, that we could be here today. Oh my, how we ought to... It ought to make us truly grateful and even that much more willing to give up our life, not seek to save it as our pastor was speaking on, but let us lose our life for his sake. Amen. Amen. I'm going to run out of time here. Let me turn here into it's the rising of the sun. And you know, it may sound strange, but these men fulfilled their purpose. And this is kind of where I'm trying to get to this morning. And this is in the rising of the sun. This was preached in April 18th, 1965. Something Brother Branham said that we've all heard read many, many times. He said, page 15, paragraph 108. There has been churches, brides, brides, churches, and brides. But there's got to come one, hallelujah, there's got to come a real bride. There must come one that's not only got the mechanics, but the dynamics of it, to make the church live and move in the power of his resurrection. And until we come to that place, and until we find that place, what good does it do to polish the hubs? What good does it do to give her a facelift or a simonized job when there's no dynamics in it? No matter how much the mechanics prove to be right, there's got to be dynamics to make it work. And that's what he proved, hallelujah. That's what Easter proved. He wasn't only the Word, but he was God himself, the dynamics in the Word. And that made the body of Jesus Christ cold, stiff, dead in the grave, shake into life and rise again. And you take this word and get the Holy Ghost down on the inside, a baptism of a new birth, and it'll make this cold, dead, fleshly body shake into life and produce exactly what Jesus Christ said it would in this day. Amen. That was an example. That was a natural flesh body that he was crucified and rose again. But today we're dead in sins and trespasses, and he died that this life could be rejuvenated. Totally a new life on the inside that would bring this body subject to his word. Somebody that used to drink, smoke, curse, whatever we've done, commit adultery, all these things God were done that he could put in there and bring forth a new life and prove that there is a people that he could take control of a flesh body and work out through. Yeah, we're not getting thrown to the lions. We ain't been in a fiery furnace, but God is here to prove 100% that in this day, a day when sin has reached its height, unbelief is at a rampage, running wild, God is here to prove that he can take a people through that. He says, gold, stiff, shake the life. I am he that was dead, so dead till the sun said he was dead. He was not only the mechanics of words, but he had the dynamics to prove it. And as he, being the groom, the bride has to come forth, because it's part of him, and it can only be the manifestation and can only manifest. If it does something different from the groom, it isn't the bride, because she is flesh of his flesh, bone of his bone, life of his life, power of his power. She is in him. As a man and woman are one, and a woman taken from his side, she has taken a spirit, the feminine spirit, from him. The flesh from his side made both mechanics and dynamics, the wife, and the spirit of him and the flesh of him, and put it together and made the mechanics and the dynamics until the church of the people. And until the church becomes both dynamics and mechanics, the Spirit of God that moved him to do the things that he did, if he hit on 16 cylinders, so will she. And that's where it's come down, not hit and miss. Oh, I got this word and I live this today, but tomorrow I can't live it because of this. But we're looking for the same life that he had, because it was him that came back into the believer. It was his life that came back upon us. And if his life is in us, his works will do. Hey, man, it ought to be shining out forth through us. Amen. You know, but we look around and we see all this taking place. And we see it going on. But God has got a people that's right there. And they're coming to this fullness. Maybe you are not, and you keep saying, well, I'm going to get to it. But somebody's doing it, because that rapture is fixing to take place. Someone is fixing to leave this earth. California's fixing to slide under. There's fixing to be wars and wars, and this destruction of the United States, it's coming. Just as you can look at politics and see, God lets everything happen. We don't know what's going on. It might look like, oh, it's going to be better. It's going to be this. But God knows, just like he had Herod, a murderous king, placed him there at the right time, the right place, to cause this circumstance to happen, to bring his word to pass. Amen. And that's what's happening right now. It may look like this is in control and that's in control, but God's in control. And he's working all things after the counsel of his own will. And it's going to work right down to and bring forth that bride to a rapturing faith. This is in the Message. Christ is identified the same in all generations, April 15th, 1964. And so everything is right on time. We don't have to worry about that. He'll have everything. He never let his enemy override him. He'll let the enemy do certain things to lead people into temptation, to try his child and so forth. For every son that comes to God must be chastened of God and tried. Therefore, if we cannot stand chastisement, then we become illegitimate children and not what we profess to be. So, let's see. Amen. But that, I want you to catch that. He had everything. He'll never let his enemy override him. And he'll let the enemy do certain things to lead people into temptation and to try his child and so forth. But he's always in control and right on time. He's never late. And it's not going to be late. That rapture is going to take place. And we better be ready, saints, because it's going to come. Even as we look at life in general, tomorrow may not be our day. We might be gone today as we sing that little song, One Day at a Time. That can truly happen. That today may be the last day we have to live for Jesus Christ. But am I living today, or was I going to wait and do it tomorrow? But we must, because you sisters can come to the instruments if you would. As we turn over here to Philippians and read something Paul said here. Amen. This is that assurance that we have. In Philippians, the third chapter. But saints, we've got to get to it. It works on God's time. God has everything in control, but we must make sure we're in that harness, that we're doing the pressing our brother talked about. It's burning in our heart. There's a moving, a goal, a cry to reach out in the Spirit. Is it truly there, or am I just content that today was the day we was going to have service and have a dinner, and that's all there is to it? It just the true reason why we gather never expounds to us, never truly gets a hold of us. And everyday life is where it must be, not just coming to church, but it's got to be every day he wants to express himself in every aspect of our life, every circumstance. Whether I'm a wife dealing with children, whether I'm a husband dealing with wife, a man dealing with men on the job, whatever it is, he wants to express himself in those circumstances, that he can have a people that will be different. They'll be just like him. Christ stood out when he walked the shores in the days of the Galilee. People knew, they could see there was something there. And that same life will cause an attraction in your life. They may not like it. They may not understand it. But they'll be able to tell that there's the person that's doing something. They're following what they believe. Many people claim to be Christians. Many people claim to be Catholic and won't do what the Catholics say to do. Many claim to be Baptists and won't do what the Baptists say to do. And many people claim to be message followers and won't do what the prophets said to do. But we're looking for a people that can take this word, this precious Holy Scripture, and the word that the Lord brought back through our prophet and see it vindicated and manifested in our lives. 100% to prove that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Philippians 3 in the first verse. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord to write the same thing to you and to me indeed. It is not grievous for you, but it is safe. Let me see. Make sure I got the... Amen. That down. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me see here. I wanted to read where I thought I wrote it down right. I must not have. Let's do Philippians, the first chapter and the third verse. Let's just start at the first verse. Paul speaking. He says, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, To all the saints in Jesus Christ, which are at Philippi, and the bishops and the deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, and always in every prayer of mine for you, always making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this very thing, that which he which began a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He began it, saints, and he is going to perform it through someone. He started it in someone. Is that someone you? Is that someone me? We can be a people that can go through this life and be like everyone else. We can be like we've always been, just church-going people. We was message followers. We're still message followers, so to speak. But am I going to be someone that's different, someone that's a truly Christ-like, a Christian, Christ living out through my life, that my life would be a testimony as Jonah's was, as Moses' was, all these lives that he was, and as our pastor brought it out, his life in them was the light of men. His light shining out through them was throwing out something that they could see that there was a reality. God was real and manifested and living. Can you see God in your life enough to know that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever? You know he's living. You know it's him manifesting through you. Can you look at your own life and put your finger on that? That, yeah, I've seen God manifest through me. I see the Word manifesting through me. I see what the Scriptures and what the Holy Spirit is trying to bring. I see it in my life. Or do we just hear the Word and that's good Word, brother? Amen. I'm glad to hear it. But it's not living and coming back forth. Because it's got to be a reproduction of Him. 100%. And it will declare His life in us. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. It might seem like a little long way to get around to it. But saints, we've got to see this for the reality. God has never failed to express himself. He's never failed for when he said he was going to do something for it to take place. And he said this people would be here at this time, this season. He told us what condition the world would be in. We see it. We see all of it taking place as my life in the condition that he said that bride would be right before that rapture took place. Saints, we better really begin to think and to meditate upon it. And I'll truly apply it in our lives with a reality. We may not have tomorrow, we may not have next week, but God is calling for someone to step out and to be that one that's truly yielded to him and to let him have his life. But we can let the cares of life so tie us up and so tie us down that we don't even have a zeal for God. We don't have a zeal. Yeah, we want to go to church, we want to fellowship, but we don't really have any interest in what the Word is telling. Yeah, I won't cut my hair, I'll wear a dress, I'll be a man, I'll shave and look nice. But do we really consider what God is wanting from us? It's not just to look like a Christian, but to be a Christian. Amen. To have a true vindicated life coming out through us. That all of those scriptures would be written one day, we would be those people that was written into those pages that God expressed and God got his glory through. Oh, saints, may we truly think about it. And if we haven't truly given him our all, let's give it to him. Let's press like we've never pressed. Go to God in prayer and cry out to him and ask him, Lord, here am I. Take me in your hands, Lord. Show me what I have need of. Because there is work to be done. God is looking for someone. We want our loved ones to come in. We want our loved ones to see this. But can they see Jesus Christ in me enough to want what I've got? Or do they think I'm just like them? Well, you do this and I do that. That puts us in the same boat. That's true. One cusses, one smokes. Well, you're in the same boat. But we got to bring it back to us, the Word, 100%. You can't pick and choose because they're looking and they know. They know what those scriptures say. They know what those messages say. And they're looking for someone that can toe the mark and get in there and be a shining light and let God shine out through them. It's got to be, saints. And if we can't be that light, we're never going to help no one else in. We can tell people and encourage them to come to church. We can bring them to this message and then let them get in and begin to see my life. And if my life doesn't back up to what I told them Jesus Christ was, then it makes me look like a hypocrite. It makes you look like a hypocrite. But we've got to live exactly. If we express to someone what Jesus Christ is, that's what better be living out through us. 100%. I pray that it'll help us. I pray it'll encourage us. May we truly be hungry. God is working all things. You know, we look and we say, oh, we're going to have a dinner there, and our pastor wasn't able to come. He's not feeling well and he had to stay home. Maybe God let a situation happen because he knew he maybe needed a few more minutes to give him something that's going to help one of us in here. Amen. You don't know that. That's why circumstances happen in life. That's why things happen. But God's got you on his mind. And he placed a pastor here to be a shepherd. And that man's just a shepherd. But God had to have someone that he could speak to you through. And he chose men to do that. Now, it may be here, you may go somewhere else. But if God's got a message for you, you're going to get it one way or another. God will work on both ends, wherever he's got to do, to see that you hear what you need to hear. Amen. And it's God. Don't never give man the praise, but look to God what he's got for you. But God had a purpose, and that's why we gather. This is God's purpose we're gathering, not my purpose. We don't gather here just to pay a light bill and to pay tithes so we can have all these things going on like, oh, we got a church. But we're here for God's purpose, that he would receive all the glory and the honor from our lives and our hearts. Oh, saints, may we truly buckle down and begin to really search it out. If we've been in a church here, we've been to church there, we've seen this, we've seen that, we have meetings, we can do all these things. But is Jesus Christ living and manifesting through me as an individual? It's wonderful to see him manifesting. Maybe your pastor, maybe a brother sitting beside you. It's wonderful. But is he manifesting in me as an individual? My, we ought to cry out to him. Amen. Hallelujah. Sing that little chorus, Sweet Holy Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't even know what page that's on. I'll probably better get the words. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All saints, he's so precious, so wonderful to us. Amen. 277 in your big book there, if you would. Amen. Hallelujah. Dismiss us, and as he comes, let's just sing that little chorus, Flow Through Me, Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you.
A lot of good words there. A lot of good things to think about. And I was thinking there, he was preaching over the using those examples. You know, a lot of times those people didn't want to go. I mean, they was happy with just being a Israelite or a Nazarene or whatever it was. They was glad. They was satisfied. Amen. But when God laid it on their heart to do something, they didn't want to do it. He had to bring the rod down.
Amen.
Amen. I wonder today, how many of us here today, and we're just satisfied with coming to church here and hearing the word brought forth and singing the songs and having our little get-togethers and fellowship, and we're just satisfied with that. We're happy with that. We're glad for that. But what if God's dealing with your heart to do something today? What if God's laid on your heart to do something that might manifest the life of Jesus Christ, the ministry of the word, through some God dealing with your heart? I wonder if he's done that. I wonder if you're holding back. Lord, I don't want to do that. I'm satisfied the way things are. I'm happy right the way I am, Lord. I'm satisfied. But what if God's dealing with your heart? And you disobey him today. What if you're not willing? Oh, God, help us to be willing. Help us to be willing to do whatever we have to do to finish the work that's to be done in our lives in this hour and age we're living in. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we're just grateful and thankful for the opportunity we've had to be here today, Lord. We thank you for inspiring word today, dear God, and how that you've blessed our brethren. We pray, Father, that you just let our hearts, my God, meditate on these things, Lord, and take them home with us, Lord. And as we go through our lives, daily lives, Lord, maybe we be watching, Lord, for that opportunity that you would present to us, Lord, that we might be able to live and manifest the very life of Jesus Christ in whatever way it might be. We pray now that you'd bless us as they dismiss from the service, Lord. Bless our fellowship together this afternoon, Lord, and pray that you just keep our hearts and our minds a deep desire, Lord, to do thy will and to please you, Lord, and to follow the leading of your Holy Spirit in our lives, Lord, in whatever way it might be. Pray that you touch those that are sick and afflicted, Lord, and bring them back to us, Lord, and glorify and magnify your name. We ask these things all now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You're dismissed.